It is a joy for Barb and I to be here. Ray and I have been longtime friends, all of these 6 months or whatever it is. But like you said, sometimes you meet people and immediately you're kindred spirits. And I appreciate so much his invitation to come and share over Friday night and Saturday and then this morning. And I just wish Sarah had a little bit more energy, you know. Probably would have got the point across a little better, so work on that a little, okay, Sarah? Okay, good. Repeat this phrase after me. I will not walk away.
I will not walk away.
What does that mean to you?
I will not walk away. I won't turn my back.
Okay, you won't turn your back. What does it mean, Sean? I won't walk away. Okay. If we are going to walk in this community of believers, the word is covenant relationships. And covenant means I will not walk away. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else does. I won't walk away. Now, the problem for us is that we live in a society that's built on contracts. See, and contracts say, you do this, I'll do this. You don't do that, it's over. Covenant relationship says, I'm in it, period. I will not walk away. Noah, how many know the story of Noah? A couple of us, good. After God brings Noah and his family to the end of their journey in the ark, he makes this statement, but I will make a covenant with you. Go into the boat with your wife, your sons, and your wives. I will make a covenant with you. He didn't ask Noah about anything. He said, I will make a covenant with you. To Abraham, he said, I will make my covenant with you and give you many descendants. Abram bowed down with his face touching the ground, and God said, I make this covenant with you. I promise that you will be the ancestor of many nations. Your names will no longer be Abram, but Abraham, because I am making you the ancestor of many nations. God said, I am making the covenant with you. To David, he said, I will not break my covenant with him or take back even one promise I made him. Now, that covenant that he made with David was that you will always have a descendant ruling the children of Israel. Now, how many of you know that if you read through the Old Testament, Kings and Chronicles, you find that David's descendants weren't always righteous men? And God had every reason to disavow them and change, but he had made a promise to David that he would not break. I have made a covenant with you. Walking in covenant relationships means I say to the body of believers that I am in, I will not walk away. Now, without looking around the room, husbands, no looking at wives, how many of you had a little tiff with somebody in the congregation? Just raise your hand. One honest person. Okay, two honest. Three honest people. Okay. The rest of you are liars. Oh, I'm glad you're sitting there. Okay. How many of you live in a family? How many of you had fights in your family? Oh, see, now you're getting a little bit more honest. Are you still in the family? When we choose to walk in the kingdom of God, we choose to walk in covenant relationship. Which means it doesn't make any difference what you do. I'm in. Now you get to walk away. If you want to walk away, you can walk away. I don't have that choice. Because I'm in it. Too many churches over the years, and maybe including this one, have had people walk away because they were unwilling to solve the conflict. They're unwilling to like the carpet. They let something stick in their craw instead of going and saying, Al, you and I got something we got to talk about. They just said, with you, and out the door they go. That's not covenant relationship. That's contract relationship. Sorry, I'll try not to point at anybody.
That's okay.
But we need to understand that the kingdom of God is not about contract. It's not about this for that. It's about living in such a generous spirit and a generous heart that it doesn't make any difference what anybody else does. I am going to be the servant of God in spite and despite whatever you do. Because I want to live with a generous heart. That's what Sarah was describing. That every time you're walking down the street or in this place, you're looking and seeing Jesus. You're looking and you're seeing Jesus. Pastor Ray's been sharing with us about what's going on in the valley. I'm excited for you guys. And now that we've been friends for such a long time, I really want to stick around and see what's going to happen. Even if it's by email. In Matthew 26, at the end of Christ's life on the earth, with some of the last times with his disciples, he said that he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. He said, drink all of it. He said, this is my blood which seals God's covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is the God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. What was he saying? I will not walk away. He says just a little later on, after his resurrections, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many believe that? Now, how many will be honest and say you've questioned that? Yeah, okay. But see, his covenant with us doesn't depend on our reaction to him. Oh, yes, thank God. What he said is true, or it's a lie. That's our choice. See, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews describes for us this. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with them in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he says, I will not remember their sins and evil deeds any longer. So when these have been forgiven, an offering to take away sins is no longer needed. This is the covenant I will make with them. That them is us. He has made a covenant with us. When he hung on the cross and all sins for all time were paid for, he signed that covenant in blood. That all we need to do is ask forgiveness and our sins are gone. That's his covenant. And because they're gone, we can choose to walk in covenant relationship with each other and give each other grace when we mess up. Now, I realize none of you do that. You know, Pastor Ray's been telling me what a great congregation you are, and I'm sure you don't mess up at all. Well, maybe Al does every now and then. Just a little bit. But when we walk in a relationship that we're seeing Jesus in everybody, when we're giving each other grace, so that when somebody has a bad hair day, now I no longer have that excuse. Some of you still have that excuse. But when we have those bad days, we can give each other grace. Or we can say, Al, I don't like you very much right now, but we got lunch tomorrow, and I'll be there. See, that's being family, isn't it? Family doesn't walk away. And the fact is, as Christians, we get to choose our family. We get to choose the people we want to walk with. Now, it's easier to walk with some people than it is others. I understand that. But in the body, when it's God's love pouring through us to one another and we recognize Jesus in each other, the trials and the tribulations become an exercise in joy, not an exercise of pain. We were at Sid and Bob's house, and the boys were trying to camp out last night in the rain. Didn't work out very well. So they ended up on the couch and the floor, which reminded us of a time when we went camping with our kids and had to pack up in the middle of a thunderstorm because the campground was literally being flooded and they told us all to get out. Now, if the camping trip would have gone well, I would have not a story to tell right now. See, when you suffer with one another, you've got something that bonds you together. That real family, real bonding together, doesn't happen because you can smile with each other all the time. It's because you hurt with each other. You have pain with each other. And sometimes real family doesn't happen until you've walked through the conflict together. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. I mentioned that over the weekend, and somebody said, and sparks always fly. See, if you don't want to get sharpened, you know, it's just nice little thing, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The rest of that passage in Hebrews chapter 10 says, so let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience and with bodies washed with clean water. Because of the covenant relationship, please be kind. It's like the one father who picked his kid up backwards and he's walking out, and the little kid's face in the congregation says, pray for me, he's going to kill me. You know, so. Family, you just love it. So because of the covenant relationship we have, we can draw near to God with no exclusions. None. I have the right to walk into the presence of God. It says, let us hold firmly to the hope we profess because we can trust God to keep His promises. We can trust God to keep His promises. Now, the qualifier of this is His time is not my time. Now, he and I have discussed that at length. But I will trust him because he knows better. Then it says in that passage, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see the day of the Lord coming near. You know, if it was coming near when these words were written, how much closer are we to that moment in time? How much more to take opportunity to be together, to encourage one another? See, our identity, the world tells us, our society tells us that our identity is found in what we do. And God says your identity is found in who you are. And who you are is part of the body of Christ. Who we are brothers and sisters. The greatest joy we have is when we give ourselves away to other people. Have you found that true? Wasn't it fun just getting rid of some of the junk that, I mean, treasures that Terry's going to now sell. Wasn't it wonderful to get rid of some of that stuff? Blessed somebody else? In fact, I was reading an article in the Reader's Digest, and it was talking about finding joy. And the article was talking about giving away not your junk, but giving away something you prize. And so the lady who's writing is talking about giving away a table that she and her husband had built together. She said, I want to give it away. He was appalled. You want to give our table away? She said, yeah. You know, Joan and Harry, they just got married. They don't have a kitchen table. I want to give them our table. Well, it took him a few weeks, and he decided, let's do that. They took the table over without telling them and said, here's our table. They were beside themselves with joy. He said, this will always be a prominent thing in our home because they knew what the table meant. Don't give your junk to each other. Give the best you've got. So whoever's got the F-150 2010, I'd love to drive it home if that's okay. just a thought. Be concerned for one another. help one another, show love, and do good. Let us not give. Those weren't your best flies, were they? They were. Fresh tied last night. Mark gave me some flies. He doesn't know me, but he gave me something from his heart that was his. Took time to tie them for me. It's a great gift, Mark. Thank you so very much. I plan on that, man. I plan on that. But to give ourselves away, whether it's a handshake or a smile or a lunch or a car, a truck, F-150, actually a 250 dually, four-wheel drive. Now that sounds good. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't just live our Christian experience in theory and come here and feel good every Sunday morning, have this 1.5 hour experience and go home and not live it during the week. That's garbage. It doesn't work. But when we're in covenant relationship and the cell phone rings and somebody's out there under the line, I'll be right there. No, I'm sorry, I have to finish my cooking show. Then I'll be over. No. What do? We drop what we have. And we go and we minister, we be with each other. Jesus said in John chapter 13, see, let me give you a new commandment. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are what? My disciples. When you love one another. Love is not about romance. Love is not about an experience. Love is about a decision. I will love. I had on an old phone of mine, every time I turned it on, a little note page would appear, and it said, love your wife. Because I recognize the fact that it's too easy after almost 38 years of marriage to take it for granted. And we need to remind ourselves, Al, love your wife. Does he love you? Okay. Love one another. I won't walk away. I'm not going to walk away. Slap me in the face, kick me, cuss me out. I'm not walking away. See, and if you live in that kind of community, and people up and down the valley start hearing about it, 400-seat auditorium is going to be too small. You'll have to go to multiple services. Either that or sit them all up the mountain. Now, that'd be cool. Anyway, I can see that in the snowstorm. Living our lives with generosity with each other gives us the right to speak the truth in love. You understand? If I'm giving myself away to you on a regular basis, and then it's time to sit down and have a talk, we can have the talk. We can have the conflict. We can have the difference of opinion and walk away as brothers. And we work it out. Why? Because we're all going to the same place. And if you can't get along here, how do you think you're going to get along in heaven? I'm sorry, I'm not moving to that neighborhood. She lives there. Oh, no, no, it doesn't work. You can live on Pluto. Oh, wait a minute. Pluto's not a planet anymore, so you can't live there. Living in covenant relationship. It means I will love when I'm not loved. I will give when I'm not given to. Why can I do that? Because he's given me everything I need. I am completely me in him alone. If I'm complete because Mark's in my life, I'm in trouble. If the only way I'm complete is that my wife is in my life, I'm in trouble. But it's because I am completely me in him that I can give myself away. Why? Because he keeps filling me up. He keeps giving to me. As I spend time in his presence and I spend time with my brothers and sisters in him. So that this becomes the joy of my life. That being with each other, whether it's sitting at the pizza shack or it's having a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts or walking through Wally World, we bring joy and peace and grace wherever we go. We must choose to walk in covenant because we have been told from the moment that we could hear and understand, it's about contract relationships. It's not about contract. It's about covenant. It's about choosing to walk with him and then choosing to walk with each other and building each other up at every opportunity. We have a world that tears us down at every opportunity. We need to choose to live the opposite way, to encourage one another, to be willing to walk through the conflict, to be willing to walk with cooperation and collaboration and be what he's called us to be. One of the things that we talked about over the last two days, Friday night and Saturday, was the realization for me to be me, to use the gifts that God has given me through the personality that he created me with to bless everybody around me the way that I can do it. And then as long as I'm free to be me, then I have friends and family who back me up to be that person. And so when God's asking me to do something that's beyond my comfort zone, I know Al's got my back. And if I fall backwards, he's there to catch me. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful way to live? To know that your security isn't in yourself, it's in him and in those that are around you. Now, it may be that many of us in this room have got relationships that just blew us out of the water, and it's really hard for us to trust. And the fact is, with everything I've said, living in covenant community is a really tough thing to do. It takes work. That's why there's this thing called forgiveness. If you're unwilling to walk in forgiveness, and you're walking in hatred, walking in unforgiveness is like you drinking poison every day and expecting the other person to die. You want me to say that again? Living in unforgiveness is like you drinking poison every day and expecting the other person to die. That's not going to happen. But when we forgive, and sometimes forgiveness is a process, it's not an instantaneous thing. It will take some time. It'll take weeks or months and maybe years. But saying it all the time, Lord, I forgive, will eventually come to the point where it will be gone and that person no longer has sway in your life on the negative side of things. Walking in covenant community is what the world keeps looking for. Why do we have Facebook? Why do we have Twitter? Why do we have all of these things? Because people want to be in touch. They want to know what's going on because they keep looking for something that the church has had ever since the beginning. Real love. Real understanding. Real companionship. Real family. In your circle of influence, inside this group of people, or outside this group of people in this community, you can bring covenant relationship and the understanding of what that means by allowing his spirit to live in you and choose every moment to display his love and his joy and his peace and his forgiveness. Say it with me one more time. I will not walk away.